like to thank you all for coming here. It's very gratifying to see this crowd. You know, David was 6 years younger than I, and there was one particular day many years ago. I don't remember when it was, where it was, exactly how old we were, but I remember thinking, my goodness, my younger brother is smart. When did that happen? He was. And I remember it was a particular moment that it had occurred to me. Isn't it interesting? Some of his attributes, as we've heard them very eloquently expressed, he's very funny, very classy guy, down to earth, warm and inviting. He was always reaching out to me, and I've always been very busy at work and at home with my three younger children, but he was always warm and inviting and reaching out for me to join with him and his friends. And he has so many friends, very gregarious fellow. He really did live life to the fullest, as you've heard. And it's been very gratifying to meet many of his friends since these tragic events and hear stories about David and their interaction with him. And some of these stories I'd like to relate, some of them personal stories and some that I've heard. First of all, his sense of humor is one of his most striking attributes. And a sense of the absurd. There was an article, he had a submission to the New York Times, just to give you some concrete examples of his humor. The Metropolitan Diary, if any of you are regular New York Times readers, know there's a section about things that happened in New York. And David had a submission. It's very hard to get in, by the way. I've submitted many. They never took any of mine, but they took David's. He had a submission. He's on a subway one morning, and a homeless person says, "Hey, you have a hanger on you." Doesn't answer. He says, "Hey, guy, you have a hanger on you." David ignores him again. Finally, the guy says a third time, "You have a hanger on you." David feels in the back. He has a hanger from the dry cleaners. the guy said, "I thought it was a fashion statement." This was this was David's submission. I had the occasion to visit David at his offices, and it's heartbreaking because the offices at Keith Bryant were unbelievably fabulous. Of course, not existing anymore, but there was a conference room that was probably half the size of this room with a conference table, one length to the other, with chairs. It was the most impressive conference room I've ever seen in my life. And I walk in, and David's there, and he turns to me, and he says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Bond. We had a feeling you'd show up." Typical story. Somebody told me this story. They said that one of the departments, they hired a few people named Jeff at about the same time, and David immediately put out a fake AP news release about how everybody in the department was going to change their name to Jeff for some sense of uniformity or some nature. But David was also very, very bright and a very, very deep thinker. He was thinking of getting his PhD in some time in the future, which I didn't even know until after these events I found out. And I have to give you another example. This is an email I sent him. He's very big in email, of course. And I sent him, forward him a petition. Someone had sent me, "Send this to 10 of your friends and have them send to 10 of your friends." Many of you who have emails have gotten messages like this. Well, David had, of course, a very unique and typical response that illustrates well his mode of thinking. And this is his email to me. He says, "There's a problem with the logic in the method of these emails. If you send this to 10 people who send it to 10 people who send it to 10 people, etc., and you expect the 100th person to send it in, by the time you get to the 100th person, you will have reached a 1 with 100 zeros people. Considering there are only 6 billion people on the planet, you will have sent it to 167 trillion times the number of people on Earth." I remember being visiting Disney World with him, and we were at the Epcot Center China Pavilion, and there was some handiwork that he was studying and admiring, and I'm sort of tapping my foot and looking at my watch and saying, "Come on, we're at Disney World, let's go see something interesting." You know, he was mesmerized by the intricacies of these artifacts. This is kind of an example of how he really gets into something and has a deep appreciation that escapes many of us and would have escaped me for sure. I was at his apartment recently, and I just looking around and thinking, and I know I can attribute a lot of this to maybe Christine's influence, but I know much of it is David's. Just looking around, saying, "Why? What a classy guy!" I mean, everyone knew this, and it actually came up in emails after I thought that. I jotted it down to mention today. it was in such order, the apartment, with this custom-made shelves, and everything looked so perfect the way it was laid out. And that's just typical of him. He really had things, everything was worked out. As the rabbi had mentioned, I could always count on David to help. And he touched a lot of people. There was one thing, he told a story, and I don't have the story completely correct, but there's a sculpture on his street that somehow had to cut, it's on a building, it's a the relief that comes out, it's like with a kite, and you walk down the street, and there's a sculpture, very unusual to see on a New York street, and for some reason, for some repairs that had to be done, it had to come down, and then it never made it back up, but David was instrumental in his community affairs to make sure that that sculpture got back up, and we recently went out to dinner, and he pointed it out. He said, "You see that sculpture? I'm responsible for getting that up." And he was, really touched a lot of people, even people who didn't know him. I received a lot of emails, and I wanted to share some of the excerpts from these just to give you some examples. One is, I just adored David. We were pals from Stern, that's NYU, and I remember having an occasional beer with him after class. I looked forward to several silly email jokes a week from David and used to joke, "When does he find time to work?" Obviously, that wasn't a problem for him. He achieved so much in his career so quickly. It's another, I worked closely with David when he was at Standard & Poor's. I will always remember his wry sense of humor, insight, intelligence, and warmth. I recall his presentations at rating meetings as thoughtful and very professional. I remember a vital article he wrote discussing an important rating issue, and when Standard & Poor's went to casual dress, he was by far the hippest of us. I was a friend of David's from Mensa, and I was on his joke list. I remember a party at his apartment. We were all on David Letterman's show, and it was a great day. David Letterman got the whole chapter of Mensa, and by the way, we've seen a tape of this recently. We've watched it. To form a line in the NBC building to pass him a soda, to use these great minds of the highest intelligence to pass a soda from the machine to David Letterman. And that was around 1993. More recently, a Mensa friend of mine was considering a career in finance, and David took the time to answer some questions for her and provide some guidance. I always knew him to be very generous. Here's another. We laughed at the Marx Brothers, Monty Python, Firesign Theater, and Woody Allen. We always enjoyed talking about comedy and funny things. We listened to Billboard's Top 40 on the radio every Saturday morning. Your family has a lot to be proud of. That was a sentiment from one of his old friends from many, many years ago. I just wanted to tell you how impressed we were with him as a human being, how incredibly funny he was. Not only could he tell a joke, but he could tell it on himself. He had a great ear for the absurd. Anyway, David was a fine person, and those of us who came in contact with him won't forget. This is a posting from the website, the threads that people put postings on the bulletin boards, which I really hadn't had much experience with, but I had more since this to learn what's a lot of David's postings. And this is what someone wrote. David was a frequent and regular participant at the water cooler. That's what they call where you post your messages. Many of his posts still remain in the archives. Some of them even contain photos he took. His last post is dated September 10th. A good portion of his posts consisted of congratulations to other time zoners in their triumphs and consolations in their defeats. Many of his posts were simply a one-line response, thanks. He was always ready to offer advice and help on a wide variety of topics. His posts were rarely, if ever, inflammatory, and often he provided the voice of reason in moments of heated discussion without ever being preachy. He was obviously a very level-headed, rational individual. He brought an abundance of balance and light heartedness to the water cooler. His presence will be sorely missed. Just have a couple more here, and I think you'd appreciate. I used to draw posters for our friend Andy's band, and David always seemed aware of whatever cartoon endeavor I was up to. He always made me feel he was glad to see me, which is probably what I remember about him most. He made you feel welcome, so you were always glad to see him coming. One time we'd be hanging around at night, and somehow ended at the around-the-clock diner on 8th Avenue. I drunkenly told him to buy me breakfast and was amazed he did it. That was a cool guy. He had a serious side, yet he could hang with us crazy artist types as well. I miss him already and wish I had brought him breakfast on some other occasion. Last one. I followed in David's footsteps at Standard & Poor's, analyzing nearly all types of insurance companies. He had always helped me when I asked for help. Sometimes it was over the phone, and other times it was over a couple of beers after work. David had a wide range of interests, including politics, sports, mathematics, restaurants, watches, music, and business. I found very few people in the world who could talk intelligently about such diverse topics, and David also gave me a sense he really enjoyed talking about them. I think because of his interests and his warm smile, he surrounded himself with a diverse group of friends. When he had parties or took me to a party or was just getting together with a bunch of friends after work, there was never a way to predict what type of people I would be meeting and the types of conversation we were going to have that evening, but I always knew we were going to have an enjoyable evening. I really miss his sense of humor, his unique sense of the world, and his smile. I also, by the way, I should mention that David and I mentioned emails and how close we were. I received emails after the event. I went back on my email, and you see the log of past emails. I had emails from him September 9th, September 10th, and unfortunately not after that. I did have occasion to visit the site as a part of a family group where you get to really go in and experience that, the sense of what happened there to the extent it's possible. And as I went, they were very helpful and handed flowers and a little card to write a message on, and I impromptu wrote a message. I'd like to read you just the message that I wrote for David. Dear David, we love you dearly and have gotten to know your wonderful friends since this tragic event. Your ripples have spread wider than you might imagine. You're a very smart and great guy. We love you. Brian from Mom, Dad, Gary, Christine, Jillian, Hannah, Madison, Michael, and family. Thank you all for coming.